Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Chris Unocero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And now, after 4 weeks of professional football in the NFL, the Chiefs are 2-2 after beating that ass at Arrowhead against the Baltimore Ravens, 37-20. It would have been a 3-touchdown game if not for a late touchdown by Justice Hill to garbage time there to cut it down.
They could have 40-bowled them like that easily.
Easily, yeah.
Easily
they,
been 40-bowled.
They by the time we got to like the middle of the third quarter when it was like actually it was towards the end of the third quarter when they pulled Lamar Jackson because of hamstring injury. At that point, if the Chiefs wanted to, they could have ran the score up, and they actually did for a little bit because they were up 33. And then they threw a touchdown to Hollywood in the early part of the fourth quarter.
They actually, hit 37-13 for a while before they made it 37.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but they were it was 30-13, and then they got a late touchdown when the game was over at that point.
Hey, and their two plays, honestly, being 4-0.
Yeah,
I mean that Kelce touchdown that doesn't bobble.
That's
that
a win.
The other way, it's 14-point swing there. The Justin Herbert scramble on 3rd and 14.
Yeah, you get a stop there. You get a stop there.
There's a chance to.
It's a very good chance. Played.
But again, the Chiefs win a lot of close games, so it's kind of pointless to talk about it. But it just shows you how razor thin football is when they say one or two plays decides the difference. I can look back and say, well,
This doesn't go the way the Chiefs lose. Yeah, there's a lot of games last year you could point to. You know, if not for the field goal block against Denver at Arrowhead, that's another
loss.
It
goes both ways too. Like Mahomes didn't get that fumble back against Giants. Maybe that's a different game.
Yeah, maybe
and Russell Wilson heads his head out of his butt and throws it instead of the tunnel.
If he throws somebody. It to somebody instead of throwing it to the crowd, So yeah, I mean,
or
a lot
Jackson
of,
Dart was in there. Who knows?
I don't think Jackson Dart would have made a difference in that one. But
it'd been probably better than Russ.
I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have.
You know who'd been better? Jameis.
Because, I mean, no. Jameis would have thrown picks the whole game. They're a disaster at quarterback. But nevertheless, Chiefs get the win at Arrowhead, week four. So now they're 2-2. Things are looking up. They do have a nice, difficult run here the next few weeks. You do play teams like the Jags, the Lions, the Commanders, the Bills. So, you know, not an easy stretch, but feeling better now. Xavier Worthy came back. He had 121 total yards. 83 of those were through the air. Definitely showcased the kind of weapon he could be for this offense. So really excited to see him come back and immediately have an impact on the offense.
17.3 per. He was leading rusher and receiver.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but also pretty bad that he was your leading rusher and he's your receiver.
It is, but that shows you how much Xavier was missed by this team. They were using him early and they were trying to get it, but running the ball, catching the ball, I mean.
And if you would have had Xavier Worthy, maybe you are 4-0.
Maybe they are. Yeah, because third play of the game against the Chargers, he's out. And the game plan clearly was slotted for him.
Yeah, because they ran a lot of man coverage against the Chiefs the whole game. Same thing with the Eagles.
Maybe they are. I mean, that's the frustrating thing in football sometimes is the
injuries cost you games. Yeah, injuries can cost you games.
I know the Ravens had a crap load of injuries. I get that. The whole defensive line didn't play. But, yeah, I look at the Chiefs and think they haven't played with anybody for a couple weeks on offense.
Right, yeah. So it's nice to see the offense get back into shape there. And it was really nice because there were reports last week that the Chiefs might be looking to acquire a receiver or a running back this year before the deadline. It was a pretty vague report from the insiders, so we'll see what happens. And certainly, I mean, I think if we're weighing the options between the two position groups, I would think running back would be more likely than receiver because that was something that we heard about during training camp, that they were interested in seeing if they could acquire running back.
When they didn't make a move on a Keenan Allen, I was like, they're not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think receiver is a position they're going
to
make a move at.
Running back's interesting to me. I know there's a couple options out there. One I really like, and it's probably not plausible, but it depends on where the Saints sit. Because Alvin Kamara, and I know he's got a big contract this year, but half of it would be paid for the Saints by the November 4th trade deadline. And he's going to be one more year in his contract, but that could be negotiated down.
And he's 31.
He's 30 now. So.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like he's advanced in age. I mean, they already have an advanced age running back.
Do you think of anybody more perfect for what this offense does?
He would be a perfect fit.
I mean, he's good enough for 70 catches a year.
Yeah. Yeah. He literally puts up like receiver level production as a running back.
That would be
It would be a massive get in the Saints.
Like perfect fit. Somebody you can play on first down, second down. You don't even take him out on third down. He's got better than pass pro. And that's the guy that if they made a move, that's obviously,
it would make the most
be
sense.
The top on the list.
The Saints are terrible right now.
They want the first pick.
Yeah.
They did want Arch, but I don't think
Arch is on the table right now. I think Arch is going to be back in Austin.
And I don't think
you'd
want him right now.
Oh, absolutely not. No. So that was out there. I would think
I don't
running
know who
back.
Nussmeier now.
Like, yeah. Like I would think. Yeah, definitely not Nussmeier based on how he's been playing. We'll talk more about that a little bit later.
At this point now.
I don't know about Klubnik either. But like right now, like running back is a need that the Chiefs still have. Patrick Mahomes. I did the stats earlier. Patrick Mahomes is still the team's leading rusher after 4 weeks.
He's got more of the rushing than any other quarterback in the NFL.
I know. And that's not a good sign.
That's him not doing anything in the ground the last couple weeks.
No, really, he's been in the pocket because the offense has been a little bit better.
It just shows you how bad they were the first couple games.
Exactly.
On offense, man.
And like not only that, but it just shows you like how inefficient Isaiah Pacheco has been, because Pacheco is obviously their lead back. He's younger, but like in yesterday's game, Kareem Hunt got more carries than Pacheco did. Now, Pacheco was a lot more efficient with his carries than he had been the previous three games. But still, like, you know, we had these moments where you're like, what are you – like, Pacheco had a dropped – he had a dropped screen pass that you know, on a 2nd and 7 that could have helped him out. He's had a lot of issues in the passing game. And then you look at Breshard Smith – the Chiefs' 7th-round pick from this year. And Breshard Smith, he had 4 carries for 9 yards, but he also had 3 receptions for 27 yards. And at this point now, like, you know, and I've advocated for it. I think you agree with it. You know, I'd like to see more Breshard Smith in the run game, too, just to see what he could do. And, you know, you kind of did, you know, especially like his last carry. He did have a nice little carry there on a sweep play, and you know, definitely showed some burst. Did a good job of using his blocks. Like at this point now, Breshard Smith, I think, has to get more touches because you need to see what you have with him, because you know what you got with Pacheco, and it's really inefficient.
No, you don't. But the one thing about Breshard is, I'm glad they made the switch. You can tell what the Chiefs are doing. They're trying different things. And obviously, getting Xavier back and working him in, that just shows you. But giving Breshard that chance. I mean, like, hey, you got this guy. use him, man. Pacheco wasn't getting the job done. You know, Kareem Hunt, what he is, you're going to use him on third down back.
He's 30. There's a limit to like the efficiency.
Elijah Mitchell's
have.
Not getting his run, and but Rashard is full of energy, man. He's got the juice, and I like to see him work at him because he's very confident when he plays, and he doesn't go down. And his stature and everything, he plays bigger than he is.
Yeah.
And the spin moves that he has, I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to make angry runs tomorrow with Kyle Brandt.
No.
But he could. I mean, he one thing about Rashard is he can run around you if he wants, clearly. But he likes to take a chance.
He'll
to
lower
run
the shoulder,
too.
And I
liked it. But I think we're seeing his value. I want to see his snap counts continue to go up and up and up because I do feel, especially in the passing game, but if he can, we know he can catch pass. We know he can run routes. We're good with that. But can he run and can he pass pro? That's the two big things.
It kind of reminds me of the first half of the 22 season, where like in the first half of 22 season, Clyde was the starter. And then slowly throughout that first half, they would sprinkle in some more Pacheco. And Pacheco was maximizing every touch he got. And he ended up, I'll tell you the game that he won the starting job. He wasn't the starter in that game, but it was the game that won him the starting job because he was a starter next week, was the November game in 2022 against the Jags. I was at that game. It was a great game. And I remember, because I think it was two drops that Clyde had on swing passes. Just check down, swing passes out in the flats. You know, and Mahomes threw it to him. He dropped two passes. And immediately after the second one, I was like, get him out of the game. It's time for us to see what Pacheco can do because clearly Clyde doesn't have it anymore. And next week, Pacheco comes in, provides them a jolt of electricity in the run game, and he never looked back. And it's been a starting job ever since. And right now, it kind of feels like a similar scenario where, like, I don't know what it is. Pacheco has not been the same dude since that injury. He had his issues before the injury. Again, one of those guys that he doesn't have great vision and he's not patient, but he had that spark in his run.
You know, the funny thing is you look at Pacheco's snap counts. He was in there for 27 snaps, 37%. Right. Rashard, 19 snaps, 26%. He only had eight less snaps. Than Pacheco, I mean, that's starting to get some
and from basically almost
eyes.
Nothing.
I mean, his stats weren't all that great, but it was just, what he did within
it's
the stats.
Almost nothing from what it was, you know, because like week one, like he had what one carry, I think, or something like that. Yeah. So he's gone from basically nothing to he had seven touches in yesterday's game, you know, passing game, running game. Like immediately, you're talking about him being someone that is starting to get some looks. And I think slowly but surely, if he continues to show what he showed in that game yesterday, we might be talking about Rashard Smith at some point. You know, if he can maximize his touches, taking over for Pacheco.
Speed. Yeah, I would see that. I mean, it's got to, again, I've always said with Andy Reid, you got to be able to, number one is block. That's a number
one. Yeah, yeah.
Two, pass catch. And then running is a nice compliment to the offense. It's for ball control, you know, to hold the ball. Give Mahomes that break so he's not doing every single thing. That's always my big worry is, I know Mahomes is 30, but you don't want to wear him out. You don't want him to start feeling like a 35-year-old.
Right, and I this is the reason why I think for Rashard, and especially as a receiver, because like that's always been the thing that has really made the Chiefs' offense really lethal, is when you have a running back that can catch passes. Like Damian Williams, he could catch passes. Kareem Hunt, when he was in his prime, he could catch passes. That's such an important part. And even go back to the Alex Smith days when he had Jamal Charles, when he had Sharkandrick West, when he had Spencer Ware. All of those guys could catch passes, and that's how they were effective for the team. And like right now, I have no faith that Pacheco can catch the football.
It's just not running with confidence. And
not at all.
Here's the thing. It's in hindsight. I mean, just – through the years, I've always cautioned people that, you know, throw the Pacheco jerseys on, you know, friends I have or whatever, and or family or whatever, and say, oh, man, it's Pacheco. You know, he's run so fierce. And I was like, yeah. First down, maybe. Like, he'll get up and shake his fist and, like, they, you know, flex and do all that.
Third and one.
What are you doing third and one? What are you doing fourth and one?
What are you doing at the goal line?
I know you love Pacheco and all this, but again, let's see some what you need on third and one and fourth and one, and that's the key. But, yeah, but with Burchard being sprinkled in there, I mean, he has that speed. He's a 4.39 guy at the combine. That's what the Chiefs like. They love that speed. Not Elijah Mitchell is a 4.32 guy sitting on the bench, but he's obviously not putting it all together. And could they use him later in the season? I don't know. Injuries, things like that could dictate Elijah Mitchell could get time. I will say this. I remember Jet McKinnon, when he was here, they were sandbagging him for like 8 weeks through the season, and he was just pass pro for Mahomes. Hell, half the Mahomes touchdowns to Kelsey were blocks by Jet McKinnon in the backfield. Right. Then all of a sudden they unleashed him. Remember he had like six straight games of a touchdown
catch? He was tearing it up, yeah. What was that? Was that 22?
Yeah, it was just a couple years ago, and they were sandbagging him, and then all of a sudden towards the end of the year they started using him. So am I totally giving up on Elijah? Well, he's on the roster for a reason. I mean, I know he's been inactive, but
I mean, I'm giving up on Elijah.
But I'm just saying that he's
inactive versus the rookie.
I get that, but he's still on the 53,
right?
And could he be pulled off that really quickly? Yeah, but I'm sure we're 4 games into it, he's still on there.
I kind of feel like it's an insurance policy. To me, it's just in case.
Insurance policy, in case of emergency break. Let's say you lose two running backs.
Yeah.
Mitchell's
active. Or in case, like, let's say that, you know, maybe they didn't see what they were hoping to see from Burchard early. Then you try out Elijah. But I think their idea was, hey, let's do something crazy and let's see if we can turn a receiver into a running back. And then you kind of see a little bit of a spark and you want him to give you some ammunition tonight.
Well, I'm more and more, when we did the show Character Concerns here, I mean, I know when we get closer to it, spend a lot more time, I think, on the running backs. I mean, I definitely think that's the direction they're going. I don't think they want somebody in free agency. That's silly. They're to get the wear and tear and that cash coming. Get somebody through the draft. They've done it before. And I know they had a little bit of success with the seventh rounder, and they won Pacheco, and they did well with that. I wouldn't suggest seven rounders.
Yeah, I would suggest maybe take one a little earlier. That has a little bit more complete game.
I like to see Burchard in it. I mean, these rookies have actually been doing some good stuff for the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been contributing, and he's one. But they try different things. You know, six offensive linemen. I was telling you, we saw some sets where Wanya actually played like 10 snaps.
Yeah.
In the game,
and he also got some time with the other guys. Jaylen later was when they put their backups in,
so they were using him. So. It was basically 12 and 13 personnel, but it was with the linemen, and they were checking in as eligible and stuff like that. But they were essentially using tackles for offensive linemen. And hell, again, trying new things. The Burchard doing that, sprinkling Worthy, doing a lot of things with him. They had to do something. I mean, just standing pat and doing the same old things again and again don't work. But what they did is they gave a lot of people something to think about. Like Jacksonville, they gave them something to think about. They get the Lions, Chiefs are using six linemen. I haven't seen them do that this year. You know, and now they got the seventh rounder out here doing some stuff. We haven't seen that. Yeah. And now Worthy looks good. He didn't look like that brace is affecting his. Was he even wearing a brace?
I don't think he was wearing a brace.
Very small.
If he was wearing a brace, it had to be real small.
He said he couldn't lift his arms after Kelsey, you know, whacked him there in Brazil, but.
They have a lot of superhuman recovery.
That was not the guy. That was not the guy I expected to see. I expected him to take it a little easy with Worthy. Hell, they were putting him right in the beginning, throwing to the fire. It's a big reason why we won the draft team back in September a couple years ago.
Tough.
In our character concerns.
He's super tough.
He's very tough. We kept talking about it. Like, this guy didn't miss games. He was hurt in Texas, but he played.
Broken hand. Still played. Almost had 1,000 yards that year.
He plays. He always wants to play. And again, since Noel Williams getting a lot of runners, Coach Kevin Wilcox came on our show from Cal. And two types of players, he said. Those that want to be a football player, and those that enjoy what comes with being a football player. Xavier Worthy strikes me as a guy that really, really likes the game.
And you brought up Noel Williams. Noel Williams is putting a lot of great tape out there. Last week I said he needed to clean up the penalties. He did this week.
He's a Spags guy, man.
Man, he's a physical corner. He's very confident in what he could do. He did such a great job yesterday of squeezing these receivers up against the sidelines. They played a lot of cover three. They played a lot of man coverage.
He's not afraid to get in your face. He had no safety help
on a lot of his routes. And we know Lamar likes to throw it down the field. He's a deep threat. You know, just like Mahomes,
he wants to.
Oh yeah, he was blanking in D-Hop. D-Hop didn't have a catch. D-Hop doesn't play a ton of snaps anyways, but he did nothing.
He's been effective this year.
He's been effective when they throw it to him, but he doesn't get a lot of snaps. because he's well in his 30s and he's got a torn MCL.
I think they made the right choice at corner with Noel because the one thing about him, again, we talk about him leading the country in interceptions. He did pick off Cam Ward. I get that when Cal played Miami. But, you know, some of the things you're reading. We used to ask the coach, hey, man, you know, talk about his tackling. You know, I saw a report, and I was like, every report I saw says he's good at tackling. I mean, every time you watch, he's good at tackling. But there was this one out there that was question mark. He's like,
I saw everything I saw from false. Him. He was good at tackling.
I read the one. I was like, that's why I asked him. I said, I saw this, and it was a credible person. I can't remember who it was, but I was like, he's like, no, he's first one here, last one leave. I know that's coach speak, but there is something to that.
Yeah, and you could tell.
High football IQ. I mean, he kept talking about that, but you're going to see him in the blitzes as well. There was a situation there. Bill Barnwell actually put it out. The Chiefs showed two high safety and they ended up at cover zero, just bringing the kitchen sink. I mean, Noel Williams is going to be very active. And they didn't really use him doing that at Cal.
No.
But he'll be used like that in Kansas City. And I just think his physicality. I remember telling Speck, just one of the Spec around the office here, and I said, this is before the season, I said, well, watch Noel Williams, man. you want to get excited about rookies? He's just asking me what rookies to watch or something, because we said, watch 20, because that's obviously, you and I were very fired up when the Chiefs drafted him.
Yeah, he was a guy that I think we both liked.
And his coach is great.
Really,
appreciate him coming on.
Really, he was like the last corner. I think I was confident in them taking and was going to be a fit for what the Chiefs are doing. So when they took him, I was really happy about that. And it's paying off already.
I mean, just if you go by grades, Pro Football Focus, if you look at that, he was the highest graded Chief out of all of them, offense, defense. He was the gold medals. He had the best grade for the Chiefs. But not only that, he's the highest graded rookie defensive player by 7 percentage points on Pro Football Focus. Again, if you value that, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But I'm just saying, by their metrics, he's the best rookie defense. And you know what? If you're Brett Veach, you like that stuff. You like that stuff a lot.
And if you're a tape guy, you can watch the tape and you can see how effective he is.
Well, if you see receivers, like, man, this dude's a lunch pail guy. He's all day.
He's all over these guys.
He's all day.
Every time they go downfield, he's right there, perfect coverage. Seriously, he did a great job against Devontae Smith. There's one play that they had against the Eagles where, you know, threw it down the field. Devontae went up and made a catch. He pushed him. Fell out of bounds,
they
dropped
trust
the ball.
You, and that's the important thing. But just watch. There'll be a running back breaking out against the Chiefs, and there's a big reason why guys don't go for 100 yards. But you watch it. He'll break containment real quick if he knows it's a guaranteed run, and he won't hide out. He'll go straight in.
Yeah, and Spags values that a lot. That's one of the reasons why they like Trent McDuffie. Because
he plays like a safety.
Yeah, yeah. If you watch like Trent McDuffie's tape when he was at Washington, he was very, very, very quick to sell out on the run. So. 100%. That's always a big part of Spags' defense. So I want to do something different this week. We are going to bring up each three rookies because we're at the quarter, you know, about the quarter point of the season. Now it's a 17-game schedule.
When's the official quarter halftime?
You said what?
When's the official quarter halftime?
Probably. It'll probably be halftime of the next game. Oh, actually, no. Quarter will be the first quarter the next week.
The last ones to get into it.
Yeah, so we're going to get to basically three rookies that we each liked that are really starting to stand out after the first 4 weeks of the season. I'm going to start off with my guy I was really pining for the Chiefs to get, wide receiver Elik Iemanar for the Titans. He is one of the most targeted receivers he might be the most targeted receiver for the Tennessee Titans.
Well,
they got Calvin Ridley.
He's got some issues, man.
But yeah, like Iemanar is, you could definitely tell he's getting acclimated to the talent level at the NFL level. But
he's got hands, man.
And he's got good hands. That
we tracked him for about 2 years.
Yeah,
because he kept staying in school. But
right.
Yeah, this dude can catch, man.
He can catch. He is bigger body. I'll say this. He's doing a good job of using that size at the next level. He's made some good big guy catches there. But in the first four games, he's got 12 catches for 151 yards, 2 touchdowns, on pace for about like a little bit under 650 receiving yards on the season. But I wouldn't be shocked if that pace went up because of the usage that he's getting and the fact that he seems to be getting better week to week.
And when they get a new head coach this year.
Yeah, when they get a better head coach, they get a better offense. Because like right now their offense is
legit, man.
Yeah, he's legit, and their offense is terrible. It is not very well run. You got Tony Pollard as your starting running back.
The good news is you got a rookie quarterback too, so they can grow together.
Yeah, so like it's a really good situation there. I think from a talent standpoint, I just do. I agree with you. I think they need a better coach. But yeah, Ian Manner to me has really he's been impressive, and I like what his future is with that team. Who's your first rookie?
You know, there's so many I wanted to put on here too.
You had multiple.
I had to keep changing my list.
I didn't tell you to cut it down to three because we didn't have enough time.
Yeah, I had Scadaboo on there. I wanted to mention him, and I had others, but I put Amike Egbuka, Ohio State guy. Again, there's nothing wrong with their skill positions, unless you want to talk about.
They always have great receivers at Ohio State.
It has, but. 18 catches, 282 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And keep this in mind. He wasn't really ever really a true number one in Ohio State.
He was a slot receiver.
And he's putting up numbers, and he and Torrey Horton, you know, the first – there's only about 15 players, I think, in the last 25 years that have at least 3 touchdowns in their first 3 games. He's got 4. But he's a red zone target. Right now he sits as DraftKings top odds for offensive rookie of the year. But it could be Amike Egbuka. And again, this – I'll give props to the Bucs, man. I mean, they have receivers, but you know what? They see Amike sitting out there, and they're like, what's draft him anyway? Because the Bucs could go a million different directions. They keep giving Mayfield weapons.
Yeah.
And they're already loaded at wide receiver. And, you know, I'll give them props, man, because they're loading it up for Baker, and he'd love seeing that draft, but you get him at round one, pick 19, to have 18 catches for 282. But the real key is the 4 touchdowns at this point because he gets in the end zone.
Yeah, Egbuka has been really, really impressive with how I thought it would be next year that he would really have his breakout year just from a depth standpoint because they do have Mike Evans, Godwin coming back from the ankle injury, and they also have Jalen McMillan who showed something last year. So I thought it would be a year, but yeah, because
listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead. Try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Because of the Godwin injury and because Ibuka is better than Jalen McMillan, he's definitely come out there and showed his stuff this year. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Not to mention, they've got Jeremiah Smith, who's absolutely ridiculous. It's going to be at Ohio State. They have the number one high school football wide receiver committed to Ohio State, too. And dude's like 6'4". And, yeah, it's Henry's kid.
Yeah, Chris Henry.
Bengals, Chris Henry's
Chris
kid.
Henry, yeah.
He's like 6'4", or something like that. I mean, he mosses people is what he does. But, anyway, it's wide receiver U, and it's not going to slow down anytime soon. If I was in the market for a wide receiver, I'd definitely – I guess at some point starts hitting up some Ohio State pro days.
Yeah. So my next guy is running back Omarion Hampton from the Chargers. He's got 380 yards from scrimmage this year. He's got 207 rushing yards, 110 receiving yards on 14 catches. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. He's got 2 touchdowns on the year. Hampton's been getting better as the season went along. Week one, he played the Chiefs. Chiefs are generally pretty good at stopping the run. So, you know, it wasn't going to be a big game for him there, but since then, I mean, he's really been showing out.
I mean, this could be he and Genty's league the next couple of
years. Yeah, and I've been really impressed by what Hampton has shown. That's the reason why I thought he was the best running back in the draft. And, you know, it's I think he's in a really good system because he's got a legit quarterback. He's got a coach that is committed to using the run game. And, I think Omarion Hampton definitely showing a lot of his abilities out there. Had a nice day yesterday for the Chargers. Hampton, he's on pace for 1,000 yards on the season. And he's a guy that I think is going to get better as the season gets along, especially in the passing game. And I think once we start to see more of that, I think he's really going to be a big-time weapon for the Chargers.
Well, I think people are expecting the Chargers to be run, run, run.
Yeah.
I actually think the Chiefs were maybe planning for a few more passes.
I think the Chiefs were planning for the run game because they did a good job of stopping Hampton. They didn't expect them to pass as much as they did in that game.
I expected Herbert there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I expected it to, but I think that the Chiefs didn't. And so I think that was one of the biggest issues they had when they played in Brazil.
They're eighth in the NFL in total offense, but
yeah,
their passing yards per game, they're fifth. The NFL.
So does not shock me at all. Does not shock me at all.
So they're very good at throwing the football, obviously.
So who's your next rookie?
I'm going Torrey Horton.
Your guy?
Well, it's okay. Like you're Alec Ellemeyer. We talked about Torrey for a couple years. He was injured, you know, here and there, and he was used a ton. But he's a guy that went in the fifth round, pick 166. Again, you can get some real gems in the draft in this area. But he's got 6 catches, 74 yards. It's not going to pop out of the sky to you, but 2 touchdowns. So it means he gets in the end zone. But he's got a punt
return. Two
receiving touchdowns.
He has a punt return touchdown.
But he's got a punt return touchdown also. He's got 3. So I'm like, all right, go Torrey Horton. Seahawks need a little buzz there.
And Horton, I think, like the one thing about Horton is you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who's getting a ton. I think he leads the league in targets right now for receivers.
He gets a lot.
He gets like, I want to say his target percentage is like 40, over 40% for the Seahawks. Clearly outclassing everyone else. And then you got Cooper Kupp, who's, you know, older, but still a pretty good wide receiver. There's just better options there right now as far as like experience goes. But man, Horton has done a good job
being a fifth round pick, that's what
making the most out of his opportunity.
He's over 6 foot.
And here's the thing is like
6'2".
I think he's 6'2". I think he's like 6'2". And he ran like a 4.440 at the combine. He's over 200 pounds. So he's got good speed to him. He's got good size to him. The more that I think he gets acclimated to the NFL, I think maybe even next year, he might be a consistent starter for them.
Yeah, they like him.
And his target share might go up pretty drastically next year. I like Horton a lot.
I just like the fact they use him in the red zone. They use him on power returns.
Oh, yeah, and he's been really, really good in the red zone. Like, even in the preseason, he was really good in the red zone. There was one touchdown when they played against the Raiders in the preseason. Caught a pass at like the 5 and then broke like 3 tackles to get into the end zone.
Good for a 5th-round pick.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I agree with you on Torrey Horton. I expected him to be on your list when I was looking, really, like week 2. I was like, oh, Bink on talking about
Torrey
Horton.
Yeah, I had some guys go off this list. He's not one of them.
Yeah. So my last rookie that I was very, very high on that's been really impressive is his teammate, Gray Zabel, guard out
John
of North
Schneider,
Dakota State.
Seahawks, man. Two of them.
Man, according to NFL's Next Gen Stats, Zabel has not allowed a pressure in the first 3 weeks of the season. I don't know what that was. I couldn't find that updated for week 4. If you look at the PFF numbers, they said he's allowed like 4 or 5 on the season. But, you know, like that's a pretty big discrepancy between like PFF and NGS. So I kind of wonder what's the difference on that. But like Gray Zabel has been getting rave reviews from the film community. And, you know, he's definitely, I think, proven a lot of people who were really high on him right. I mean, he certainly jumped off to me at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was the best lineman there, and yeah, he's been incredible to start the year, and you know, a very, very big part of why I think the Seahawks have a good chance to surprise some people, because Sam Darnold is the highest rated quarterback according to PFF. Not that I care about that, but he is the highest rated quarterback on PFF. And right now, I think the Seahawks are 3-1 on the season. They look like they're going to be in control of that division with them and the
Defensive
Rams.
Defensive-minded head coach, so there's that old, you know.
Run the football, take care of the football, play defense.
Defensive mind, well, sometimes you can.
Yeah, and it's great when you have offensive linemen like Gray Zabel out there.
I think the Ravens might miss him.
Yeah, yeah, I think that the Ravens probably do miss him on defense.
Mike McDaniels.
Probably been a their defense hadn't been the same since he left for Seattle, for sure. So yeah, Gray Zabel is my last rookie that has jumped out to me in the first 4 weeks. Who's yours?
I'm going Tyler Warren. He's the tight end.
Our guy.
We liked him a lot, and he did so many different things. You'd see him line up at quarterback, even the Wildcat, and trick
got
plays.
Got tons of carries. He threw the ball every now and then.
He reminded me of this year's draft, Brock Bowers. Yeah. Like, as far as a tight end, you're going to hear a lot from in the future. And what's funny is the Bears were sitting at pick 10, and they took Colson Loveland, very good tight end in Michigan, but didn't have all those big eye-popping numbers. And you and I looked at each other during the draft and go, what in the hell are the Bears doing?
Why did they take him over Tyler Warren?
I mean, Tyler Warren was the dude. I mean, this dude would have been perfect with Caleb Williams back there.
Man.
But they went Colson Loveland, who's not even starting because Cole Kmet is starting for the Bears. So he's got 3 catches, 52 yards. Loveland does. Warren, different deal. 19 for 263. And oh, by the way, he has a rushing touchdown this year as well. So he's a guy that very athletic. He obviously can catch 19 for 263, and he has that one run. But this is going to be one of the tight ends of the future, in my opinion. Tucker Kraft, I like him. It came out a couple years ago in the draft. But
that was your guy a couple years ago.
Tyler Warren, I think, is going to be one of those tight ends you talk about for a while.
I agree with you on Warren.
He was a first-round pick, by the way, pick 19.
Yeah, yeah. I was.
He went
was
way too late.
Yeah, I was really big on Warren, and as were you, and man – that was a guy I was sitting there. I was like, man, if the Chiefs could get him.
I mean, it came pretty damn close going where he did. But yeah. I mean, you talk about there's certain guys that are special. Andy Reid obviously likes the tight end. I mean, replacing Kelce is going to be tough. I mean, we all know that. There's a few guys I felt like couldn't, like Brock Bowers obviously went higher. But Tyler Warren was a guy that I thought you have him, he could replace that guy, not to that level of early on Kelce, but definitely the last couple of years Kelce, it could have been Tyler Warren.
I think he has the potential to have multiple 1,000-yard seasons in his career, and I think he's put a lot of good tape out there, and his usage has been really high.
That's a big reason the Colts got off to a hot start.
Yep. I think he has been one of the biggest bright spots for them. So, those are our guys. We'll probably revisit this when we get to about the halfway point of the season. So be ready for that. Really excited about. Seriously, like, it's really nice being able to see some of these rookies that we really, really liked get some time in the league and kind of showcase why we liked him a lot.
We didn't spend any time about Scataboo, which obviously is and Jackson Dart. Who
and,
got
and
the
Scataboo's young. He's, I mean, not young. He's new because he just got the starting job this week, but he has been impressive in the, in the touches he's
Jackson
gotten.
Dart, the first-round quarterback for the Giants, finally got his first start. He's the first quarterback to ever beat a team that was 3-0 on his very first start. So,
I think it was the first time in a while. I don't think it was the first time ever. I thought I could have sworn
I
saw
it.
I had
it his first time ever. The
I could have sworn they put it up and it was the first time in like 20 years.
But it was if it was 0-3 and he was getting his first start with an 0-3 team.
Yeah, if it was 0-3, yeah. But it was, I don't think it was the first time that a rookie quarterback debuted against
a team. But regardless, there's a rookie getting some action.
Still, it was a I mean, as a passer, Jackson didn't look good at all, but as a runner, he was very good. So, you know, hats off to him getting his first win. Beat the Chargers. Definitely needed that here in Kansas City. So that was nice to see. So let's get to our Week 5 recap real quick. Man, there were some really good games this past week.
Best week of the year.
Oregon and Penn State went to overtime. And, man, first off, hats off to Dante Moore. Played really well in this game. 248 passing yards, three touchdowns.
Heisman favorite, Dante Moore.
Dante, that was a big time win. Go into Penn State and took care of business there. Hostile environment.
They were doing a whiteout day. They never lost on a whiteout.
Yeah, did their whiteout day. What was it? Coach Franklin came out there locked in with his players' arms there.
Well, I had Penn State win this game.
Me too.
Franklin better step up. Franklin's 1-15 against top 5 teams now.
They always fall apart in those
games.
Against
top 6 teams.
And speaking of Drew Aller threw two picks in this. Actually, threw two touchdowns. He had a pick. He threw for 137 yards. That is not impressive. But the pick he threw, overtime, you were down 30-24. You have an opportunity to try to go down and win the game because if they score a touchdown, they get the two-point conversion, they win. Because Oregon had just scored in second overtime. And you got a pick from Denai Dennis Sutton on the two-point conversion. So all you have to do is go back, match, get two, you win. That's a huge win for Penn State, and now you're able to go out there and potentially make a claim for being to move up to number two or one, and you just fall apart at the end. Really bad pick by Drew Aller.
I mean, again, these are the first-round quarterbacks you're starting to talk
about. This is a guy we've talked about as potential 1-1, and but not good at all.
Well, the funny thing about it is College Game Day was there, you know, doing the show, and they didn't put the picture of the name of the quarterbacks, and they put up numbers of Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, but they didn't say who was who. They didn't even say they were there. And then all of a sudden they put their pictures up there, and Prabula numbers just far outweighed Aller's. They did it because they were at Penn State, right?
Right.
And Prabula was a Penn State guy, and he transfers. But Drew Aller, I know you might not have gone the first round last year, but might have been a better option.
Possibly. Very possibly, because it ain't looking good for him right now. Sam Leavitt for Arizona State, he threw for 291 yards and two touchdowns. Also ran for 62 yards against TCU. Jordan Tyson is his top right receiver, maybe the top receiver in the country. A lot of draft people think he is. He had 8 catches for 126 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, he shined, and you see why. That quarterback wide receiver combination there between Leavitt and Tyson is pretty something special.
Yeah, if Leavitt can be consistent, then you know we're talking about a future first round quarterback. I think that athleticism, the arm talent, I think he could be a great quarterback. He just needs to be consistent. LSU, Ole Miss, they faced off down in Oxford. Man, this is a game of the quarterbacks, and it was a big difference between the two. Trinidad Chambliss, he had 314 passing yards, a touchdown and a pick. He's got some Jackson Dart in him a little bit, I think, where he's got some effort. I'm going to chuck it down the field. I'm going to throw it up for my guy and let him go get it. And it works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work. The pick, he should have had two picks. One of them got called back because of a DPI, but the pick that he threw, he just threw up a 50-50 ball and it got picked off. But you definitely see the arm talent there. I don't know if he's a pro. I need to see more from him, but definitely a nice performance from him against a very good LSU defense.
Yeah, he's up like 6 in the Heisman odds now. Get this. All right, so Trinidad's one of the most interesting stories, if not the most interesting story in college football, because D2 guy finished third in Harlan Hill, which is their Heisman. Won two national titles there, but only started one of them. He was like the 60th quarterback in the portal. His portal ranking, Chris, was somewhere like 800, like as far as the players transferring. But Lane Kiffin looked at his tape, and he liked him because he sent it to him. Like Chambliss sent it to him. I mean, this is his number since it's three starts. Because he had 59 yards the first game, which was August 30th. It was three starts, 314, 307, and 353. Four touchdowns during that. But this is rushing. Against LSU, he added 71 yards rushing. Week before that, 112 yards rushing. Week before that, 62. He's a dual threat. He's 6'1", which obviously that plays in the NFL now, 6'1 does. You don't have to be 6'5 and 6'3 and 6'4 anymore. 6'1 does play. Not saying he's going there. He's just interesting.
The mobility helps him a lot.
Very
because he can throw on the run, and I like that. Teams are going to like that. He's got to get rid of the Jackson Dart effort. I'm gonna throw it to my guy.
They got some decisions because Austin Simmons is gonna be ready.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW. Birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices. We'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Roll here.
Yeah.
And that was their
right.
Simmons, a good quarterback.
He's a senior. He is. That was their guy going into the year. He got hurt. I mean, I'll say this.
I wouldn't change a damn thing.
If it were me, I would not change it right now because things are working for you. And I think momentum is a powerful thing in football. And, you know, it's like when I watch Chambliss play, it's like something might be there. I need to see more. I need to see him be better with his decision making. I need to see more of the arm, too, because like I kind of need some games to evaluate it. I didn't see him make any crazy, like super difficult throws. But the throws he did make, they look good. So one guy that did not look good on the opposite sideline was Garrett Nussmeier, who going into the year was, I think he was considered the number two quarterback behind Arch, or number one, depending on who you were talking to. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Garrett Nussmeier is a first-round quarterback based on how he's played.
And they brought him in weapons, like getting Berrien Brown and stuff.
Yeah, Berrien Brown. You got Nick Anderson, who actually had a pretty good game for LSU this past week, caught a touchdown pass on a tip drill. You already had Aaron Anderson, and I think Aaron Anderson is a lot more talented than the production that he's had. Garrett Nussmeier, 197 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. I'm not impressed with Nussmeier. I get the arm talent, and we see the arm talent. He showed it off on the first touchdown drive the LSU had. Went right down the field, scored. I was like, that's the Garrett Nussmeier that can be 1-1 in next year's draft. And then the rest of the game, he just looked like a pedestrian quarterback in the SEC. And I'm like, that's not the rest of the game, Garrett Nussmeier is not a guy that gets picked in the first round. And there was a lot of people on Twitter speculating that he might be injured. I haven't seen any evidence of that.
He's talking about that from game one.
Yeah, from game one because of the knee. I haven't seen any evidence of that. If he is injured, that is absolutely going to destroy his draft stock because nobody wants to draft an injured player like that. So, you're talking about day two at best for him. But right now, Garrett Nussmeier does not look good at all.
I remember that Any Given Saturday or whatever that show Netflix was doing, but the SEC had Brian Kelly, the coach of him, talking to his agent and saying, well, I mean, if he goes last year, he'll be a third rounder, but, you know, here he could make just as much money and nil that he could as a third rounder. And it felt like trying to convince him to come back because this was going to be the missing piece that LSU needed.
And right now, he doesn't look like the missing piece that LSU needed. He looks like he needs more time for sure. Alabama, Georgia. They had a heavyweight title fight, 17-5 matchup there. Ty Simpson, 276 passing yards, two touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown as well. He's starting to get some people to notice him.
He's making his way known with these quarterbacks because the other quarterbacks are kind of falling apart. He's not.
Yeah.
Like he was a five-star prospect. He was like the Tennessee Player of the Year. This kid, he was 17-17 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's hitting over 80% lately. His accuracy is off the charts.
Now, I do want to preface this by saying...
he's second Heisman odds.
Yeah, I do want to clarify it like... I haven't heard anything about him as far as pro, so we'll see about Ty's prospects.
He could come back. I mean, he got his chance now to be the quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's probably very likely unless he starts getting a ton of like first round, you know, top 10 hype. I think he's probably coming back.
Well, he might look at the 27 class and think that might be his chance.
To be honest,
he's a dual threat. He's 6'2".
Yeah, he could run. He had a rushing touchdown in this game. I'll be honest here. If he plays incredibly well the rest of the season, he could put himself into the top five because this quarterback class does not look good.
Especially because of the Heisman ceremony because he's sitting there. Long way to go.
Two
in odds now. But they have a huge game against Vanderbilt. And I think College Game Day's there. Obviously, they're going to spotlight Ty Simpson. They got Missouri the following week. I think Game Day jumped the gun on that one because I think the Columbia Tigers in Alabama could be really interesting. But, I mean, obviously this is a rematch with Vanderbilt and Ty. So this is back-to-back. I mean, Vanderbilt's playing a lot better, and obviously they're undefeated. And
Vandy's a fun story, so it makes more sense. It makes more sense.
They beat Alabama last year in Nashville. They get their chance at them again this year. And Ty Simpson, you know, back-to-back tough opponents playing at Georgia and, you know, showed a lot of moxie going to Georgia and winning a game. Not many people do that.
And then quarterback on the other side, Gunnar Stockton, 130 yards and a touchdown. Not impressive.
He was underwhelming.
Not good.
He had been starting to climb a little bit.
Yeah, he had been, but that definitely is a setback for sure. Indiana took on Iowa, 20-15 win for the Hoosiers. Fernando Mendoza, who has been climbing up some of the draft boards.
He was number one there for a while. He's like a third now in odds.
He had 233 passing yards, two touchdowns, and a pick in this game.
I'll tell you
so
this much about Mendoza.
Pretty meh.
Well, Mendoza, he's been good. He put 63 on Illinois, a top 10 team the week before. But I'll say this much about him. He's in that 6'4", 6'5", range. He was at Cal, where Coach Wilcox we had on. He was his quarterback. He had a really good year. He's starting to get like a lot of buzz from recruiting guys for being because with all these quarterbacks starting to slide
down,
he's getting some big run to be in that mix with some of the top quarterbacks. Like, don't sleep on this
guy. He was
guy.
A guy that was talked about as like a fringe first rounder, possibly because of the body type. I want to see more from him, especially against the top competition there. But yeah, from a framework standpoint, I get it. It's kind of like the Josh Freeman, what's his name? Blaine Gabbert hype, where it's like he's got the body type we like. He probably has the arm strength we like. Let's see if he can, you know, show the game that goes with it.
I actually think Indiana's better than they were last year. The playoffs.
Yeah, but they gotta, if their quarterback play is better. But yeah, no, I'll say this. Mendoza is definitely someone that we heard about, but like he had to prove it to get
into. I hope
into
he gets to that first round. Again, the more first round quarterbacks,
the better for the Chiefs.
More high profile players there for Kansas City.
Chris Brazel for the Volunteers. He has 6 catches for 105 yards and a touchdown. I think he's very much working his way into the first round.
Team.
I think he is working his way up into the first round there for Tennessee. Mekhi Litman, man. USC did lose to the Illinois Fighting Illini, but Mekhi Litman was the best player on the field in that game. He had 11 catches, 151 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the Trojans there. Gabe Akis for Illinois also had a half a sack, but Mekhi Litman was just unstoppable in this game. Should have had 3 touchdowns. One of them got called back, though. I think it was a holding call. But Mekhi Litman he might be the best receiver in the nation. Like, he is just so incredible at being able to high point the ball. And he's not like, it's not like he's crazy big or anything, but he plays really big.
He plays at 5'11".
Yeah, it's like 5'11", about 6 foot, something like that. And he is just, he's incredible at body control, high pointing the ball. He's great against zone coverage. He knows, he understands depth of the DBs. And being able to find open spaces against zone. He's beaten guys, man coverage, back shoulder fades. I really like Mekhi Litman.
You know, this wide receiver class has a chance to be better than I thought.
Sneakily good. Like, sneakily good.
Jordan Tyson there and Brazel and Mekhi Litman. I mean, you can make an argument for any of these guys being game changers.
Yeah.
Like, Mekhi Litman's junior, so he'll be ready. And Jaden Maeve is quarterback, having a great year. But
yeah,
I think the wide receiver group might have a little talent to it.
Yeah, and we talked at the beginning of the year. It was like, it kind of looked like it was Carnell Tate and everyone else. But now, like, Carnell Tate looks like he might be the fourth best receiver at best in this class because of how good these other guys are. Yeah, I'm really impressed with what I'm seeing from the receiver room, which I did not expect going into the year. Lenora Sellers. We talked about this last week. Had a great game last week. This week, 153 passing yards, 81 rushing. So that was nice to see. Got to see more from him through the air. Like, I'm impressed with what the physical tools he has. I think he has an NFL arm. I think
just 3 incompletes. They didn't ask him to throw it.
Right, but I need more from him because he ran. There was a lot of his rushing attempts were him scrambling.
I thought he was top 5 Heisman going in the year.
Yeah, and he looks good. To me, it's just like I got to see more from him as a passer. I need to see you dissect defenses more. I know he can do it because he's shown that. In the games where he was high volume, he was awesome. Agreed. He's just not doing that enough.
Yeah, I agree. This is why Mendoza and Ty Simpson, look at your competition. And
there is a lot of competition right now.
There's a lot of competition, but there's some guys that can step up and shine.
So let's get to our moneymakers here, guys that we think made themselves some money this past weekend. My first moneymaker, Mekhi Litman, wide receiver for USC, 151 yards on 11 catches, 2 touchdowns, should have been 3. Right now, he leads FBS in receiving yards. He's averaging 117 yards a game. He's almost 600 yards on the season. Right now, I think he's the best receiver in college football. He's incredible. And he doesn't have the physical advantages that like Tyson has, that Brazel has. And yet he reminds me of if Romo Dunze were like better in man coverage and better against zone coverage. Like, if he were better, like, at the catch point, that to me is what he reminds me of. Like, he's incredible.
It's explosive offense, one of the top 5 offense in the country. Their defense let him down, giving up 34.
Oh, yeah, their defense has been letting him down for years now.
I'll be honest with you.
They've been letting him down since Lincoln Riley got there.
The Big Ten made it start to evaluate things because when these West Coast teams go east and when the east goes west, like
it's not good.
When you miss the central, the mountain,
it's not good.
When you're jumping three time zones, yeah. It is 8-18 overall, 1-8 as far as, you know, conference games doing it. But these east going the west, that's why I props to Oregon. I know it was a night game, but you know, they at least it wasn't 11
at
o'clock.
At least it wasn't 11 o'clock.
And if I'm sure James Franklin wanted to play at 11 because it's 9 o'clock body time for
That's what I'm saying. It's like, because that would have been a 3-hour time difference there, and that would have been real
tough.
They
came in really late at night, too. Yeah. They try to time things like this, but they've got a little bit of an issue with the west to the east and east to the west.
Right, and that's the reason why I think regionals are just better in college football, because there's a big advantage for the home team whenever they do those. So who's your first moneymaker?
I'm going to stay local, just down the road here. Emmanuel Henderson, the transfer from Alabama. Didn't have much production at Alabama because they're loaded.
A lot of competition.
But he goes to Kansas, and he's with an established quarterback, Jalen Daniels, who did have 488 and four touchdowns and great rushing as well. But Emmanuel Henderson, he was just a man-child. 5 for 217 and 2 touchdowns at a loss. Like, Emmanuel Henderson might be one of those guys getting a little attention, too, because he's having a really productive year. But, I mean, he was exceptional. I mean, he just stood out in this game. That deep threat, I mean, he showed something. I think he made himself some money.
He did. Yeah, I think he definitely, nice performance there. Obviously, consistency is going to be big for him, but, you know, the way that he's, if he can pile on some good performances there, especially with the talent, when Alabama's calling your name and you were there for a little bit like that, it means you got some talent there. You got to put it together.
Because he would have been a Saban recruit.
Yeah. Yeah. So got to put it together, be consistent. But yeah, no, that's a big time performance there. My second money maker, Texas A&M wide receiver Casey Conception, who was former 5-star receiver. I think it was NC State, almost had 1,000 yards as a true freshman at NC State. I think it was like 839 yards there his freshman year. Then he had some injury problems and whatnot, and also like NC State, you know, was falling off. So
Marcel Reed, Casey, I love that quarterback wide receiver combination.
So he dropped under 500 last year, but this year his production's starting to go back up. And, you know, 7 catches, 113 yards for Texas A&M this past weekend. And, you know, I think Conception has the ability to be a very strong slot option, second receiver option at the NFL level. Just you got to see more production from him. This year, he's been a lot more productive. I think at the pace that he's at, I think he's probably going to post his career best numbers. And we could be talking about maybe like a day two, early day three guy in the draft. So that's my second moneymaker. Who's yours?
Here's the thing. Are we going to put any sophomores on this, like true sophomores?
No, or it has to be draft eligible. Because I know.
Zamon Hardy.
Otherwise, I would put Vernell Brown III on this list week one, but no.
Ahmad Hardy, Missouri.
Yeah.
He's climbing the Heisman.
Yeah, we can't put Ahmad. I would have put Ahmad on there last week.
But here's he's got 5 straight games over 100 yards. He's number one in the nation.
He's the best running back in the nation right now.
By 100 yards.
Yeah.
And UTSA, the second most. In the SEC, he's number one. Kwon Lacy is number two in the SEC with 445.
And Lacy's really good. Lacy had a good game against LSU for
Ahmad Hardy's got 730, man.
I would have put him on here last week otherwise. They have to be draft eligible.
Okay, I put Ty Simpson here, and these numbers aren't going to say, whoa, 350 yards and 5 touchdowns. No, it wasn't that, but it was 24 of 38, 276, 2 touchdowns. And he had a rushing touchdown as well. Not great rushing, but 4 for 12 and a touchdown. But the one thing about Ty is he led his team into a place people don't win. Like, he went to Georgia. Like, Georgia's one of those teams that'll just – I've compared them to the Chiefs for a long time because they'll just hang around, they'll beat you. It's like they did Tennessee just a couple weeks ago. They beat Tennessee just like that. But honestly, I think Ty Simpson's got a chance to really start making some money because these numbers here just shot him up to number two in the Heisman odds, but I like the way he just kind of commanded that Alabama offense And he did combine for 3 touchdowns in that game. He was important. So I do feel that Ty Simpson's making himself money.
I love how you tried to sneak in Ahmad Hardy. Like, we've never had a true sophomore on the list.
Hey, I would mention that
because otherwise we would have J.J. Smith on here. We would have Ryan Williams on here as true freshman last year.
I'd also mention that Missouri has the number one defense in the nation as well. Like, but I'm not going
to
do it.
Like you just did. Like my thing is this: like we have to put people in here who are draft eligible. I'll and Ahmad Hardy needs another.
I'll tell you who did make himself money though that is draft eligible: Kevin Coleman.
Yeah,
he's a little smaller receiver. But he has got. He has been. Huge for Missouri.
I think he's got some good day three potential for sure.
Again, Eli hit that portal, man. He brought in some studs, like Jeremiah Trotter's kid at linebacker.
Yeah.
And then Prabula and Ahmad Hardy. And I'll tell you this much, too. Jamal Roberts, that is draft eligible, the backup running back Missouri, he's going to have over 1,000 yards, too. I think, honestly, Missouri might have a stake for the best backfield in the country.
I'll tell you this, next year, man, oof. They're gonna have a nice running attack there.
Next year's draft's gonna be fun. I think it's in DC next year. It's in Pittsburgh this year. Honestly, I'm excited about this year's draft. It's gonna be fun and everything else. But the year after that, that's gonna be something special, man.
Yeah. So getting on to our watch list for the weekend here. Saturday morning, only a couple games to really look out for. Kentucky takes on Georgia there. Big guys you're going to watch the four there are going to be Roger Robinson II, Zachariah Branch, Kristen Miller for sure. Kristen Miller, I think definitely from a defensive tackle standpoint and because it's the Chiefs, definitely want to look there as well. Wisconsin taking on number 20 Michigan, Justice Haynes, who's having a great year. That's going to be a guy to look out for because he could be a first-round pick at running back.
Is he even our first-round picks? I mean, you're starting to look in the 20s, and Chiefs will be in that area.
Yeah, so I mean,
they want to be 32, but
I doubt first-round running back for the Chiefs. But this is a guy who could be a first-round running back, if not definitely a second-round running back.
I could see Justice going to second round,
and we'll see what value there is for him. In the afternoon, you got Texas taking on Florida. This is going to be an ass whooping. Texas is going to beat the hell out of Florida, but you get Arch Manning, and that's going to be an interesting matchup there because it's good Florida defense. Jack Injuries at tight end, I think, is going to be really interesting. And then you
look
at
tight end, man.
Yeah, and then you look at their defensive side. You got Trey Moore and Anthony Hill Jr. there.
What's Coach Wilcox? That was our guy that came on, obviously, to talk about Noel. They're losing everybody, man. Mendoza's at Indiana.
Right.
And then you got Injuries, the tight end that transferred to Texas from Cal. Like, and Cal's still pretty good, but he lost a lot of really good talent.
He lost a lot of talent, yeah. And, you know, luckily he did. He was able to get back his five-star quarterback that Oregon stole from him in the recruiting trail, and he was able to get him back after signing day. So that's good for him.
He did lose Mendoza, though.
Yeah. Look at – and then also on the opposite sideline, you have wide receiver Trey Wilson for the Gators, defensive tackle Caleb Banks, and also they got edge rusher and Tyreek Sapp as well to look out for. Vandy takes on Alabama. This is the only time Vandy will probably be on this list all year long, but this is a big matchup here, ranked matchup 16-10. Eli Stowers is the tight end for Vandy.
Be on there when they play Mizzou.
Someone to look out for. And then Alabama has guys like Jeremy Bernard, who's last couple weeks not super big, but Jeremy Bernard's big. Their offensive line is great. Proctor, Roberts, Brailsford, LT Overton, an edge rusher, and then both their defensive tackles are great, and Smith and Keegan, Damani Jackson at corner, Keon Sabbath safety. Penn State takes on UCLA. Look, I'm not officially ruling out Drew Aller for the first round, but it ain't looking good right now.
And by the way, I will mention this. Deontay Lawson, the linebacker that we want to look at for Alabama, he's out for the year.
Oh, is he out for the year now?
Yeah, they've lost two linebackers now. But Lawson, that just came out today. He's lost for the rest of the season.
Man, that's because he was having a pretty good year before he got hurt.
Yeah, a lower leg injury, and Caitlin DeBoer confirmed today that he's gone for the year. Their second leading tackler, considered top prospect, really, at his position. But he is out. Alabama's lost two linebackers. Matter of fact, Mel Kiper had him as his number 5 linebacker.
Yeah.
And ranked number 3 by Field Yates. So that's a big loss.
That is a big loss, especially for a team that plays in the SEC. So, big loss for them. Penn State, UCLA. I mean, like, we'll see what Allard does. You got Nick Singleton. You got Catron Allen at running back there for Penn State. Catron Allen, I think, has been a little bit better than Singleton this year. Trevor Pena, Zane Durant, defensive tackle. Zaki Wheatley, the safety. I think he had a fumble recovery against Oregon. And a fumble recovery or a pick. I can't remember which one. But he looked good in the game against Oregon this past weekend. Then in primetime, Minnesota, Ohio State. Ohio State's, you know, this is obviously going to be Carnell Tate, Max Clair. Kenyatta Jackson had a sack. Bo Atkinson, the other edge rusher they've got. Sonny Styles, one of the top linebackers in the class. And then Caleb Downs at safety, a guy you absolutely have to watch. This guy is going to be, I think, at least top 10, maybe top 5. His chances of being top 5 or better.
Maybe if the Ravens keep taking, they can draft
Yeah,
him
maybe they'll take another safety, yeah.
But I spoke about the East to the West Coast. Props to Ohio State because they went out there and beat a very good Washington team with DeMond Williams at quarterback.
Right, yeah.
It was an undefeated Washington team, so props to them being an East Eastern time zone going out there.
Yeah, that was a good win for them. Definitely more of a defensive battle there. Miami takes on Florida State, 3 versus 18 matchup. Carson Beck could be a first-round pick at quarterback there. Francis Maui-Goa at right tackle. Reuben Bain Jr., who is climbing up boards as an edge rusher. And then for Florida State, you got Daryl Jackson Jr. at defensive tackle.
Bain's going all the way up like 3 and stuff. Because, again, that's more potential for the next level. Reuben Bain's been fantastic.
Yeah, Bain has been someone that is really starting to climb up some charts. And then you've got Mississippi State taking on number 6 Texas A&M. For A&M, you're looking at Casey Conception there, Cassius Howell, the edge rusher, Albert Regis at defensive tackle, and Willie III at corner, who is starting to climb up boards the last couple of weeks. So, great slate of football. Not quite as good as it was last week, but still really good slate there. I mean, that matchup between Miami and Florida State is going to be a really big. And then Vandy playing a meaningful game this late in the season is definitely going to be a spectacle to
watch. Listen, I'm multi-TV guy, but I do like it when there's a game I can just concentrate on, like, solely.
I do the quad box on YouTube TV, and then I just switch out between
games.
But
it is nice being able to – I mean, I'll have others on, but at least they're spaced out a little bit better.
Penn State, Oregon State. Penn State and Oregon, I just had that on that game.
11 o'clock, I have Iowa State and Cincinnati, number 1, at 11 o'clock time slot. Vandy, Bama is on at 2:30, same time as Texas, Florida. So.
Right, yeah. I'll have them both. I'll probably be paying more attention
to
Florida.
I'll be watching both those.
But yeah. So for that is this week's episode of Character Concerns. Make sure you download, subscribe, give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're on, and, you know, tell your friends about us. We appreciate the support. We'll be back next week. We will be giving you an update on what happens with the Chiefs game, what rookies stand out, what younger players stand out, and we'll also let you know which players made themselves some money and which games you need to watch in next weekend's game lineup. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. This has been the Character Concerns Podcast, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.